Praise God. Hallelujah. Ooh, what a great day. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, praise God. I hope you're all rejoicing. There's something about Easter. It never gets old. You know that? It just lives. The power of the resurrection just thrives. It's amazing. I like what Job said. This is before Jesus came. He said, I know that my Redeemer lives. Wow. I mean, that Job, they say Job is the oldest book in the Bible. We don't know how old that guy was. He was old. It was before the Abrahamic covenant. That's how far back it goes. But he knew there was a Redeemer. It was a prophetic truth that he just saw in the spirit, you know. And Job went through a lot of stuff, didn't he? But in the end, he knew that his Redeemer lived. I don't know all that he saw through the centuries down to the time of Jesus and his resurrection, but he knew in his spirit God was his Redeemer. And we must know that, all of us. I was thinking about John the Baptist when he saw Jesus coming. Now, he and Jesus were cousins. I don't think they played baseball together, but they probably had some fun times. And I'm sure that they did talk about things of the Spirit, because when Jesus was just 12 years old, he was already in the temple talking with the lawyers and the scribes and saying to his parents, I must be about my Father's business. But there was something that happened by the Spirit of God to John the Baptist when he saw Jesus, who had come of age, who was now 30-ish. And John saw him and he said, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus was not our Lamb, he was God's Lamb. God sent him as the Lamb to be the sacrifice for us. We had no access to a Lamb, certainly no access to God. So he was the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. And this is a confusion about the effect of Jesus' work, his blood, how it was shed. And we know that in John 3:16, that the intention of God was to be that all men could be saved through Jesus Christ. But here's the thing about the blood. The blood is sufficient for all sin, for all men, for all time. Sufficient. Do you understand the word sufficient? It's enough. In the Italian, it's tutto finito. That's it. It's enough. There can't be any more. But sufficiency is not the same as effectiveness. The blood of Christ is sufficient for all men and women of all time, past, present, and future. But it is only effective for those who receive him and believe in his work. Only those. Only those. So any teaching about hyper grace that we hear about today that doesn't require a personal acceptance of the work of Jesus Christ that was sent from the Father for us is spurious. It is untrue. It's shameful. It's just simply dishonorable. But we have a great Redeemer who lives, and we have received him. So I want to teach you some things this morning about the work of redemption and what redemption means. There are a number of meanings for the word redemption. I'm going to mention 6 of them. These are related words to redemption. To redeem means to literally sever from, like a connection, to sever one from a connection. Like something has been holding, and to redeem is to sever that thing, that power, whatever it is that's holding people. Another word is ransom. We've heard that, we've used that, and that means to pay for something. A third word is to deliver. And that word means to set free. A fourth word is rescue. What are we rescuing? We're rescuing people from danger. When you need to be rescued, you're in trouble. And all the world without Jesus is in trouble. And they don't even know it. And I can explain that. I remember Marion Knorr. I used her name a number of times. She was that little old lady in New York City who put her finger up in my face and she said, "You need Jesus." She was saying to me, "You need rescuing, boy." I needed rescuing. A fifth word is release. To free somebody from something that's holding them. It's similar in ways to redeem, but these are all interrelated words. And the fifth word is to preserve, which means to keep safe. Now, the basic meanings of the Old Testament are simple. It means to transfer ownership from one to another, excuse me, by means of, sorry, I'm so sorry for that. All right, let me start that over. Basic meaning in the Old Testament. I said new, I meant Old Testament. To understand redemption were twofold. One, to transfer the ownership from one to another, like to take a slave and buy him out of bondage. And the means of the payment for that was one or another, which was one, a payment of a price you could pay to redeem somebody. You could offer money that would be satisfactory to the person that held the other person, and they would let that person go free. The other way is to give up something of equal value, to trade gold or jewels or something like that on behalf of somebody who needed to be redeemed. So there's a sense of buying back, either with something of equivalent value or an actual price. Well, now think about Jesus. He satisfied both purposes or reasons for, or ways of redemption. He was of equivalent value because he connected with us and he was the greatest price that could ever be paid. So, in the New Testament, there's very simple meanings. Again, simply to buy back and to rescue. And that's where we are. We've been bought back. Jesus is our deliverer because he is the equivalent in that he took on flesh. The reason he took on flesh was more than just so he could suffer at the cross, but so that he could identify with us. He took on flesh. Hebrews 2:14. Take a look at that. The reason he took on flesh is because it says there that we were partakers of flesh and blood, and therefore Jesus partook of flesh and blood so that he could be perfect as an equivalent for us, something of identical value. And subsequently, he paid our price or our penalty, which was death. He suffered death. That by his death, he took our place, while then he became our Savior of sinners. I praise his holy name. All the world is full of sinners. There are five blessings you should know about concerning our redemption, okay? Number one, who gets redeemed and why? First of all, we are the redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Come on, let the redeemed of the Lord say so this morning. Say it. I am the redeemed of the Lord. I am redeemed. I could not have been redeemed without Jesus. And all the words of what redemption means, ransomed, delivered, rescued, released, preserved, are yours because you are the redeemed of the Lord. Romans 3:23 says that all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, we are redeemed because we were people under the law. Now, actually, at the time, let's say that the New Testament was written, you have to understand that the Gentiles were not part of the law. Only the Jews had the law. The Gentile nations of the world did not have the law. God did not give the law, the commandments that he gave to Moses. He did not give to all mankind. He gave it to the Jews. So they were under bondage of that law. But we also know this, that every man who takes a law unto himself and tries to live by that law is also guilty of that law. The law that he chooses to live by, his own personal law, will condemn him or excuse him. But that law is not sufficient to save anybody. Everybody who is under the works of some law, either God's law or his own law, cannot be saved. By our works, we will never satisfy God. Why should we or could we if he sent Jesus for us? How ridiculous would it be that we would work out a plan of our own to save ourselves and expect that God is accounting to us the number of good things we've done versus the number of bad things, when in fact he said, there's none good, no, not one. Why would he send Jesus if we could do it on our own? Just praise him for that. Now, that means that we have to get out from underneath our works that we conduct in our own lives. Bless his holy name. Now, so again, I said that the Jews were under law, but we who make our own law are under our own law too. But that has not been the case for us. We've passed from that. Go to Galatians 4. Sorry. We'll look at Galatians 4 and verse 6. We were under, verse 5, we were under law. Jesus came, as it says here, born of a woman to redeem them, verse 5, that were under a law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Praise his holy name. The sentence of death was in all of us the day we came into this world. And I'm not talking about physical death. All men must die. But the spiritual death that happens and exists for all who do not come to Christ. I'm going to take you to a scripture that is one of those scriptures that people have trouble with. There's a question about what happens if we die without coming to Christ. And I'm going to ask you to turn to, I don't think I gave you this scripture, Quinn. It's Matthew 10. And let me just get the exact verse for you. 28. In this scripture, Jesus says, Don't fear those that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. There's a lot of question about what happens to those who do not confess Jesus once they've heard the truth and refuse it. This scripture says that there's a destruction of both the soul, that is your sense of who you are, your identity, I know that I am, and the body, the container in which you lived, which means complete annihilation. The word destroy means put to an end. Jesus came to give us eternal life, not temporary life. Not all men get eternal life. Some people think that men and women who do not receive Jesus burn in hell eternally. I think this scripture can prove something differently. It is my opinion that what happens is a total destruction of that person. If you value your life, if it has any personal meaning to you, if you have any respect for it, any desire to continue to exist, any hope that you'll go beyond the grave into eternity as a person, then you need to count the opportunity to give your life to Christ as the most important decision you can ever make. Because he will preserve you throughout all of eternity. Who gets redeemed and why? Us. We were under the sentence of death. God redeemed us. Second question that answers the power of redemption is, what is the rescue? We were rescued, if you would like, turn to Hebrews 2. Bless God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And beginning in verse 14. It says again, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. We give the devil too much credit for what goes on in our lives. There is a rescuing of our lives from the power of the devil. And verse 15, deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Some people say, well, I don't fear death. I'm not afraid of dying. They assume that they're going to live forever somehow. The reality is they won't. They're done. But Jesus delivers us from the devil, who had the power of death over us. He delivers us and delivers us from the fear of death. That's a great rescue. Right now I want to pray for those who fear death. You can be a Christian but wonder about what's going to happen at death. I'm not certain about it, but I'm going to ask Holy Spirit right now to come to your heart and satisfy it with truth that you will live forever with God. Yeah, forever. And the fear that you might have had that tormented you from childhood on, the uncertainty about your eternal state, that you are now free of that. And the one who held the power over you has been destroyed, Satan. He might have principalities and powers in the air, but there's a deliverance that we have from him that we must believe in. And we cannot blame him for everything. I like what it says in our bulletin about prayer, the prayer of the people of God, that we are a people loose in the world who can contact the throne at any time, and thereby Satan doesn't know from what direction he will be assaulted by us. Isn't that a powerful truth? And that's the way we should live. We're also delivered from darkness. This is a rescuing from darkness. I'd like you to turn to Colossians 1:13. How many people were afraid of the darkness when they were little? Yeah. It takes a long time for some of us to overcome that fear. There's something about darkness that is so challenging to us. We don't know what happens in the dark. So Galatians 1:13 says this. We have to start in verse 12. Excuse me. That we give thanks unto the Father who hath made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. There is a power of darkness that we have been set free from. I want to take some time about that. What the heck does it mean to be freed from darkness, rescued from darkness? Well, I'm going to bring it right down to the realities. When you're in the dark, you have no clue as to godly life. You might imagine some things about God, but you don't really know anything about God. You're unaware of the promises and the blessings, the provisions and the love, and all the things that come from God because you're simply in the dark. In the dark. You know nothing about God. How is it that we can go through life and not know anything about God? That's why people argue about creation versus evolution. They don't like a creator because they are in the dark about him. If they knew him, they wouldn't argue against him. Being in the dark is terrible. Not to know anything about some important subject. Praise his holy name. I thank God that you and I have become partakers of the knowledge of the living God, that we know him. Praise his holy name. Look at Acts 26. I love these scriptures. I'm giving you more scriptures this morning because I want to feed your soul, but make you wise and knowledgeable in things so that these scriptures will come back to you and that you can use them to help others. Things that our Lord redeemed us from, or what happened when we were redeemed. Acts 26. I could probably look upstairs on the overhead and get to it quicker. Verse 18. This is Paul. He's talking to King Agrippa. Agrippa said to Paul, "You've almost convinced me to become a believer." But somehow or another, he never made it. And Paul is teaching him, and he says in verse 18, that Jesus Christ came to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in Jesus Christ. Praise his holy name. We get delivered out of the darkness, a kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of the Son of Light. So we could not see, but now we can see. Our eyes are opened. We understand. And I see all the world that lives under the power of darkness. And we see it so prominently today in the behavior of mankind. Darkness grips them. They make up their own way. They grope about trying to figure out what to do, how to succeed. And only Jesus has the answers for them. Praise God. Third thing, what exchange took place at the redemption? We came out from underneath the curse of the law. Exodus chapter 20. Verses 1 through 5. And God spoke these words, saying, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage, and you will have no other gods before me. You'll not make any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water or under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, and I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of those that hate me." That is the biggest curse of all. That means that every sin that our forefathers committed and the consequences of that sin traveled down at least five generations, and the children or the offspring were under the curse of their forefathers. And people today are wondering how they got out from underneath it. Unfortunately, they're not reading the Bible. The Bible makes it clear. Makes it absolutely clear. The answer to that is in Galatians chapter 3. I get so concerned about this as I find people always looking about curses. What happened? What did my family do? My great-grandfather? What sin am I under? You're not under anybody else's sin. Hallelujah. You're not under anybody else's curse. You're not suffering stuff because somebody else did something bad. You're free. When Jesus died, he set you free from the curse. Whew, glory to God. Somebody needs a shout. You're free. Oh my God. I'm telling you, my heart aches when I hear about people wandering around trying to search their past to find out what happened in the past that's now causing the problem in the present. And they think it's a curse. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Where am I? Hallelujah. I'm losing my place because I'm so excited. I am. I'm absolutely. This morning I got up and was thinking about all this, and I got so stimulated about the realities of my redemption. It's like after all these years, 50 years, that you can never get enough truth. Truth is just like a living entity that every time you hear it, I'm not talking about, you know, how you screw a nut on a bolt. That's a truth too, but I'm talking about real truth, kind of truth that changes your life. You know, how to bake a cake, that's a truth. But this is a truth that changes you. Hallelujah. I mean, there's such power in knowing that you've been delivered from the enemy. It says, cursed is every man that hangs on a tree. Right? We're free. Because Jesus became, it says in Galatians, a curse for us. Meaning, all those sins, all those consequences, all those penalties, all the bad things that would happen to people as a result of their sins went on him. And now you and I are free. You don't have to practice anything else but faith in that. And live a powerful, free life. Bless God. Now, when the curses go upon Jesus, what else happens? There's a release of the blessings of Abraham. Remember, God told Abraham that if he was faithful, that God would make him a blessing and all the families of the earth would be blessed? Abraham was blessed. The blessings that came upon him, all the prosperity that he enjoyed, comes upon all the families of the earth who believe in Jesus Christ. So the exchange is the curse is gone, the blessings come. Bless God. Who are we redeemed to? That's the next thing. John 1:12 tells us this, to as many as received Jesus Christ, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. The whole idea of redemption is the Father's heart to bring mankind back to him. That mankind from the fall of the garden has been estranged from the Father. No man has access to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said it. No man can come to the Father except through me, the Son. Jesus then says in John 1 that to as many as received him, to them gave he the power now to become the sons of God. A lot of people talk about being children of God. Well, let's explain that. God is the creator of all mankind, but you are the sons of God. And nobody can take that away from you. But not all mankind can say, I am a son of God. The privilege to be a son of God is equal to being Jesus' relationship to the Father. As he came as the Son, you now can approach God, your Father, the same way Jesus would. That's why he gives us the right to make access, to come boldly to the throne. Bless his holy name. Today you are the sons of God. Thank you, Jesus. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we see him, we will be like him. There's a day coming when we will see Jesus in his fullness. And at that day, there will be a flash, supernatural experience when we will get rid of these earthly bodies and take on the heavenly body that God has prepared for us. And we will see Jesus and we will be in a form like him. Not that we will be him, but we will have the right to live in eternity with heavenly bodies with him. Bless his holy name. The last thing I'm going to mention this morning to you about redemption is what is the sign that we have that all of this is true? Is there something that God has provided for us that confirms that all the four things that I've already mentioned to you are true? What is the sign? What is the proof that what I'm telling you is true? Or even what the scriptures say is true. And from that, we look at Galatians again, chapter 4 and verse 6. It says this: now that we are sons, God sends forth his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into our hearts, that whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's why the Holy Spirit came. More than anything, he didn't come just to give us power and to make us witnesses, but he came to show us that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit until the final day of our redemption in eternity. Let's look at Ephesians. We're going to be closing with this. Chapter 1. Hallelujah. You know what? No power, no enemy can snatch you out of God's hands. Nobody. You've been purchased, redeemed, ransomed, rescued, delivered. Take a deep breath and swallow this in. There's a truth here that goes so deep into your souls, it'll change your life, your walk. You are the redeemed of the Lord. What manner of life should you now live if you have been called the sons of God? And God says, I'll make sure that you know that all these things are true, because I'm going to send to you my Spirit, the Spirit of my Son. Ephesians 1 says this in verse 13. After we trusted in Jesus Christ and heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation or our redemption, in whom also that you believed, we've all believed this, we are now sealed with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah is right. You know, the King has sent the Spirit down upon you, and you, like an envelope with a loose flap, he stamped you. You can't get out of that. You're sealed. The King owns you. This is my treasure, he says. I'm so excited. Can you hear that? Sealed. There are people who talk about once saved, always saved. Can you lose your redemption? I don't believe that there are people who've been called by God to know eternity can be plucked out of his hand. Some way or another, the Redeemer lives and will make sure you continue to hold course in your life. And nobody is going to stop that. You might fall, but your Redeemer lives and he's going to pick you up, because your heart's going to be constantly tuned to him. I heard a brother say one time, do you believe in once saved, always saved? And the guy retorted and he said, well, who wants to get out of it? Who wants to quit it? And who can take it away from you? Hallelujah. And that's why we shout, Abba, Father, hallelujah. La baka yade du tabashoa. Elahad nu teki somba. Ididi shopopia tapa. Esafa. Thank you for sending Holy Spirit into our lives, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Our Father, we have not an unrighteous God, but a righteous God, a God who has become our Father, who loves us more than any earthly father could. And that's why we have the seal of our redemption. A couple years ago, this became so strong to me while we were up in Alaska, that I know that I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. But I went out and got a tattoo that says, Abba, Father. Because I can look at it and thank him and look at it. You see, you know why I did that? I can look at it and thank him. Abba, Father. And I can reach out my hand to people and say, what's that? And I say, well, let me tell you. Praise his holy name. Anybody here today uncertain about their relationship with God? Anybody need to have a confirmation of these truths in your life personally? Anybody here need to know that you are saved, redeemed? Anybody I'm telling you, now's the day. You have come to this right time, this right moment, for God to speak to you through the scriptures, by the Holy Spirit, and to work into your souls a new life. Even for us who've been walking with you for many years, can feel a resurgence of our salvation as we think about these things. I've been rescued. I've been rescued. Oh God, I've been taken out of the darkness and confusion that surrounded my life. I know things of God, things that are revealed now to the sons of God that are not going to be revealed to anybody else. Just like the Spirit of God knows the things of God, so does the Spirit of man know the things of man. And God will reveal it to those who are the spiritual sons. He will reveal the secret things. I bless God for that, to walk in a new way. Praise your holy name, God. Give him some thanks from your own heart this morning. Ooh, hallelujah. When Jesus came up out of that tomb, hallelujah, when he came up out of that tomb, his redemptive work was almost complete. He had already proven that the power of death could not hold him. And he said, I'm not finished. When those who wanted to touch him wanted to touch him, he said, I'm not yet gone to my Father, but I'm going there, because when I go there, I'm going to cleanse the Eternals with my blood, and we're going to send back to you my Spirit into your lives, and you can cry, Abba, Father! Abba, Father! And no, listen, the older you get, the more you'll enjoy this truth. Some of you are too young to really appreciate it. But I got a few years on my carcass, and I want to tell you something. Eternity draws nearer now than it ever did before. And it's nicer to know my Redeemer lives and that I'll always live with him. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Amen. The fear is gone. The veil has been rent. We're going to go through it. Bless his holy name. Easter is a great celebration. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll come back to you. And he came back in what? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ. Lord, we want to thank you this morning. I'm sorry that I stumbled and mumbled, but my heart was full of praise, and my tongue could hardly work at times. I thank you for this. I feel tears of joy and thanksgiving. It's just not a ham dinner today. It's not just an egg. Oh God, it's so much more. The turning point of history is upon us. May the turning point of history be on your souls today in a fresh and living way. Bless you forevermore, oh God. Bless your sons and daughters here today. Honor them, oh God, with your love. Glorify yourself in them, Lord. We praise you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray this morning for your work to be done in all the places that proclaim your name, that call upon you, that are telling the truth about what Jesus Christ did, that there are so many today who may hear this truth for the first time. May they come to Christ our Lord. May they come to him today. Oh God, you are worthy to receive. You are worthy to receive, oh Jesus, those souls that come to you now in honor to you and receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Oh Father, be glorified. Your great work of redemption through Christ lives on. Let this be a great day of we'll call it a harvesting day, of many of your sons and daughters into the kingdom of God forevermore. We praise you and thank you for that. We give you honor. Bless your holy name, Jesus. We love you forever for your great sacrifice for us. O holy Lamb of God, thank you so much. Death could not hold you, and that we praise you for. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah.